శుక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభ.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. As Prashanti Nilayam celebrates the birth of Lord Krishna, here is wishing all the listeners of Morning Glory a very auspicious, happy, holy and Krishna-intoxicating Janmashtami. And what better way to start Morning Glory than with the latest audio special from Team Radio Sai, the Sri Balamukunda Ashtakam. As we debut this on Morning Glory, we offer it with deep love at the lotus feet of Sai Krishna. Balamukunda Ashtakam, the song of prayer that glorifies the adorable baby Krishna, the one who keeps his lotus-like foot on his lotus-like mouth with his lotus-like hand. Let us think of Bala or baby, Mukundan or Krishna, who sleeps on the Vatapatra or the banyan leaf. This Krishna Ashtami special audio, Bala Mukunda Ashtakam, is a traditional composition consisting of 8 stanzas in the praise of Lord Krishna. The stotram has been tuned and sung by Brother Ashwat Narayan. In fact, all the students of the Sai University have learned and rendered it for Krishna Janmashtami music program in the Sai Kulwant Hall in the year 2014. This morning, our Sai Kulwant Hall was transported to the Dwapar Yuga or the era of Lord Krishna when Baba's beloved students brought the beautifully decorated cows, peacocks, deers to offer their love to Sai Krishna, and the hall resounded with the praises of Krishna. On Morning Glory, let us continue the mood with Balamukunda Ashtakam.
Thank you. బాలం ముకుందం మనసా స్మరామి బాలం
Sri Sairam. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is Thursday, August the 25th, 2016. And today is also the day of Krishna's birthday, Janmashtami. The time right now in Prashanti Nilayam, India is exactly 33 minutes past 10 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. And I apologize that we started Morning Glory late by almost an hour, but the reason for that was the wonderful celebrations in the mandir were still going on till quarter past 10 a.m. this morning. So we thank you for your understanding in this regard. Meanwhile, I do hope you enjoyed Radio Sai's brand new Janmashtami audio special, the Bala Mukunda Ashtakam. As always, the music was put together by Brother Anirudh, and I'm very happy to read the credits for your information. This 8-stanza traditional composition was composed by Sri Adi Shankaracharya. And the music, thousands of years later, was composed by our very own Mr. Ashwath Narayan. The vocals were also, the singing was also by Brother S. Ashwath Narayan, who is a research scholar in the Sai University. On the flute was Mr. P.R. Neelakantan, an alumnus of the Sai University. On the sitar, Mr. Murthy, a faculty member from the Mirpuri College of Music here in Prashanti Nilayam. And the choir included the wonderful voices of Mrs. Vidya G., Mrs. Niranjana Mahalingam, Mr. Ameya Deshpande, and Mr. Anand Parshuraman. Mridangam, Ghatam and Kanjira by the very talented Mr. Sudhir of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Tabla and side percussion by Mr. Anand Parshuraman, also of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Keyboards and music arrangement by none other than our very own Mr. Anirudh Srinivasan of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This piece of music was mixed and mastered by Anirudh Srinivasan in the Radio Sai Digital Studios at Prashanti Nilayam. Now, if you enjoyed it and you wish to hear it again or download it, worry not, dear listeners. It will be posted any minute now on our homepage, radiosai.org. And much like Bhagwan's selfless and infinite love, all good things from him are free to all. Please enjoy this free download and share it with all your family and friends freely, along with all our other audio specials. With that, let's get down to the prevailing weather conditions in Prashanti Nilayam. The current temperature outside the Radio Sai studios is 26 degrees Celsius, and we are expecting daytime highs in the mid-30s. Later today, night times are reasonably pleasant these days, with the temperature hovering in the mid-20s. Today, the ashram is celebrating with gusto the birth anniversary of Lord Sri Krishna, the bewitchingly beautiful, dark-hued avatar of Lord Vishnu, who stole a million hearts with his melodious flute and has guided billions more with his timeless message of the Gita. In this connection, I wish to fast forward to the times of Sai Krishna and quote for you an experience from the late Mr. John Hislop. From time to time, Bhagwan Baba has orchestrated situations wherein devotees have been blessed to see him in some of the other forms he is worshipped in. Hislop was among the lucky few, and here is an experience in Dr. Hislop's own words. Dr. Hislop says, and I quote him, "A number of years ago, I was in Baba's car. He was in the rear seat with two other persons. I was in the front seat with the driver. We were on our way to Puttaparthi. Driving in the car with Baba is a fascinating experience. At some point in the journey, perhaps about halfway, Baba was talking and I turned to look. My breathing stopped and was transfixed. I could not credit my eyes. What transfixed my movement and stopped my breathing now was his face. The Baba I knew was not there. Instead, there was a face of the most extraordinary beauty, quite different in shape and cast from features of our beloved Sai. The charm was so great, so poignant, that my heart seemed to twist almost as though it were in pain. Never in my life, not in photos, not in paintings by great artists, have I seen a face of such exquisite beauty. It was beyond imagination and concept, totally beyond experience. And his color was blue, not just blue, not the blue with which artists paint Sri Krishna, but a deep blue, like the velvet blue that can sometimes be seen in a dark sky, like a blue that I have at times seen from the deck of a ship thousands of miles from the shores of the Pacific Ocean. I do not know how else to describe it. I could not take my eyes from Swami's face. The two men sitting with Swami were beginning to look at me with somewhat puzzled expression. After a few miles, Sri Vitthal Rao, seated on Baba's left, asked me, "Hislop, why are you staring at Swami like that?" Instead of answering, I directed a question to Baba. "Swami, what was that blue color?" He replied, "Oh, that? Whenever there is something of unfathomable depth, it appears deep blue." That was the end of that conversation about the incident. Naturally, the thought had come in mind that maybe this was Lord Krishna, but neither then nor at any time in connection with this experience did I ever mention Krishna to Baba. There the matter rested until November 1975. Excuse me. One day, shortly before birthday, Swami called a family for interview. Hislop also was called. Swami spent some time talking to the family and then he turned to Hislop. "Over now to Dr. Hislop for that part of the story." I quote him again. After a while, Baba said to me, "Hislop, tell them about your experiences." I complied, and after mentioning some incidents, I told them the same story about seeing a deep blue face. The man was deeply impressed, and words broke from his lips. "Oh, that had to be Lord Krishna." Swami smiled and said, "Yes, that was Krishna. Not the Krishna pictured by artists and imagined by writers. I showed Hislop the real Krishna." Unquote. Don't you need a moment to just take it all in? Hislop, dear listeners, was clearly a specially chosen one, for he had many wonderful experiences, like few have been blessed to have. Today, on Morning Glory, in honor of this special day, I have a very special interview ready for your inspiration and listening pleasure. So, dear brothers and sisters, brace yourselves for a brand new episode of Tris with Divinity with Mrs. Sujata and Dr. Anupam Ganguly of the U.S. of A. Let the interview speak for itself. Here is part one for your listening pleasure. Have a listen, please. Sai Ram, dear listeners, welcome to Tryst with Divinity on Radio Sai. Today, it's my honor to welcome a couple from California, USA, who are devoted to Bhagwan Baba and his mission, working in sync like two wheels of a bicycle, complementing each other's efforts as they offer their love, talent, knowledge, and respective skill sets at the lotus feet of their Sadguru, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. After growing up in a village in West Bengal, India, Mrs. Sujata Ganguly went on to complete her Bachelor of Science degree in Mathematics and Computer Science from UCLA or the University of California in Los Angeles. Sujata worked for over 30 years in Southern California in the corporate IT departments, starting as a programmer and concluding her career as a business consultant and in the project management and IT space. Currently, Sujata Ganguly assists in various facets of the Sathya Sai International Organization work. Her journey to Sai is closely linked to that of her husband, Dr. Anupam Ganguly, who currently serves as the chair of the Sathya Sai International Organization's Media Committee. Dr. Ganguly is also the director of the Sathya Sai Society of America. Much like his wife Sujata, Dr. Anupam Ganguly also has a stellar resume and professional track record. After receiving a BTech degree with honors from the prestigious Indian Institute of Technology at Kharagpur, India, he completed his master's degree from the University of Windsor in Canada and a PhD in chemical engineering from Northwestern University in the United States. Dr. Ganguly conducted research in advanced engineering design for almost a decade before joining the local government Air Pollution Control Authority in Southern California. After 25 years of service, he retired in 2012 as the Assistant Deputy Director responsible for public outreach, education, and legislative matters. He currently teaches a multidiscipline course on climate change, energy, and environment at the University of California in Los Angeles. Sairam Dr. Anupam Ganguly and Mrs. Sujata Ganguly, I welcome you both very warmly to Radio Sai.
Sairam.
Let's begin with you, Dr. Ganguly. I understand you first learnt about Baba 42 years ago when you received Vibhuti and a note from Swami in response to a prayer for help by your father. Under what circumstances did this strange and unexpected parcel arrive?
Sairam, Sister Karuna, first of all, let me offer my humble pranams on this holy and auspicious Guru Purnima day at the lotus feet of our Guru, our Lord and God, and the only one that I recognize, that is Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Our journey began many decades ago, and it feels like it was just yesterday. Although 42 years have passed by, I recall the incidents back in 1974 very clearly. And it took me quite a few decades to realize the importance of it. And I realize now how Swami has always guided and helped us and assisted us in bringing us to His divine lotus feet. 1974 July, I had graduated from IIT Kharagpur. My father, who was a senior government officer in IAS service, suddenly fell sick due to a very unexpected medical issue. He was disabled and he was moved from New Delhi to Calcutta, and that's where we lived. In Calcutta, I visited him at what's called the Presidency General Hospital, PG Hospital, in his private room, where he was kept for several months while he was undergoing various treatments and operations. One day he said suddenly that, I know you are trying to go abroad, which was the practice at that time, but I was not getting any scholarships at that time. And he said, I will pray to God, and if there is a God, He will help you. And he was a little bit heartbroken, which was sad for me to see. But I came back home and I forgot all about that incident. Within about a week's time, I got a plain envelope in the mail, and it had a little packet, and that packet contained injection vial, which is a little glass bottle with a red stopper on it tied with a rubber band, I remember distinctly, with a grayish powder inside. And there was a little letter with it that said, this has been sent to you by Sri Satya Sai Baba. Always trust in God. And it also said, put a little bit of this on Mr. Ganguly, he will get well. I thought this was some kind of a prank, because I was not particularly religious or spiritual bent of mind at that time. And so I hid that package. But I did pray to Satya Sai Baba. I had no idea who Satya Sai Baba was, or where he was, or what he was. I had absolutely zero concept. I prayed to him, however, for two things. One, please give me a scholarship so I can go to USA or Canada, and please help to get my father well. Within about 2 weeks' time from there, I received two letters from the University of Windsor in Ontario with three scholarships offering me more money than I had expected to continue my studies. And my father slowly got well, and I was able to come to Canada. I did not publicize this. I just kept it hidden with me. But I kept praying to him whenever I had a difficulty or I faced an issue or I needed something. And as I look back now, surprisingly, I noticed that I had never applied for a job or a scholarship or for any of the advanced studies I did, whereas they came looking for me.
Had you ever seen Swami's picture till then?
No, I prayed to that name. And I think I had a book also at that time, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, which my memory fails me now, whether it came with the letter or it came separately. Book with Swami's young picture, written by Professor Kasturi, which was the only publication at that time. And I'd seen that later on in the 80s, and I knew, looking at that picture, that for some strange reason, I have a fascination to Shiva, and I knew that this was Shiva incarnate.
Mm-hmm. And this letter, this anonymous strange letter that arrived, did it have your name on it? Was it addressed to?
It was addressed to Anupam Ganguly, and my address in Calcutta, wow. 57/6 Baligan Circular Road, Calcutta 19. It was written to me, and it was very clearly handwritten note, and I do not think it was Swami's handwriting. But it said clearly, this has been sent to you by Sri Satya Sai Baba. Always trust in God. And I connected the two later on, that my father said, if there is a God, he will answer you.
Yes. Imagine the power of a father's prayer.
Right.
And the power of that name that you would just turn to without knowing much about, like your little genie. You rub your magic lamp and your wishes kept coming true.
Right, right. These connections don't come by themselves. As I studied this later on, I tried to read up philosophies about Bhagavad Gita, philosophies about Aurobindo, until I came to read Swami's writings. And after I started reading his writings, I stopped reading everything else because all the answers were in there. But I remember distinctly both Swami saying this and Rishi Aurobindo's writings also, that there is no such thing as a free will or coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. And the fact that I thought about this and the fact that I thought about Swami was also due to Swami's grace. Without his grace, without his blessings and his goodwill, I could not think and I could not act or I could not see what I saw. So all of this attributed to him, but that came at a later stage.
Of course.
The initial stage, I was at the receiving end. Give me.
Of course.
That Chamakam say, you know, I want this, I want that. And that was my magic thing. Until later on, much later, I transitioned into thinking, what are we here for? Or what am I doing? Or where am I going for here? And that happened after my father died and later in life.
I guess we all have our journeys and evolution of thought process.
Correct.
Individual journey.
Correct.
So after you had this letter and the scholarships came pouring in, I believe you were quite a wealthy student at the University of Windsor. You had 3 scholarships going simultaneously.
Correct. And I was enjoying life at that stage. I could do pretty much what I wanted to
do. Great spending power.
And after a few months, my head of department suddenly called me, and I still remember the conversation. His name was Robert Steger, and I said, yes, Dr. Steger. He said, Anupam, there has been a mistake. 3 departments sent you 3 scholarships, and they never coordinated with each other. And so you're receiving more money than we give normally, and would you like to give some back so we can give a scholarship to some other worthy student? And I said, of course. So I gave one of them back. I still had 2 scholarships, and that was more than enough. And then later on it struck me that for some reason all these 3 people came together without their knowing each other, and that could only be by divine guidance. It's not possible for it to occur as a general rule of business or a rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm. But Sujata was not a part of your life at that time?
Correct. Sujata was not a part at that time. I came back to India after my PhD and I got married at that time, and that's when I met Sujata. And then we came back to California at that time.
I see. And what about the first time that you laid hands on the Shirdi Sai Satcharita?
Later on, I had a couple of jobs, change jobs, and towards the 1990s, late 1990s, I started getting an interest in philosophy, in more about the meaning of the religious texts like Gita and the Ramayana and all that. And I started reading about all of these different scriptures. And I was looking searching for books, and I had a habit of picking up different books whenever I went for a business travel to Washington, D.C., Chicago, or other places, or in L.A. And the Shirdi Sai Satcharit appeared on my screen suddenly on Amazon. So I ordered the book. I got it. It was mailed from India. I read the book, and I made some connections which came in a flash. And the connections were that this is the same person who wrote me that letter. At that time, it was 30 years gone by, almost 30 or 25. This is the same one who the letter came from, and that this person has come back. And after reading that, I believed that he was Shiva incarnate. He was an avatar, and that I had benefited from him throughout my life. And I got strangely attracted towards Swami. And after a few years, we made our first trip to Parthi. This was about 10 years ago. And by then, I was firmly convinced I'd never come to South India on my own since my childhood days.
Why is that?
My father had taken a trip here in the 1950s when I was a small kid, and I'd come with him. But since then, I was busy with my studies in Kharagpur and after Kharagpur.
But did you have a bad experience?
No, I did not. But I did not like to travel very much inside India at that time, because we had kids to and we had a family to take care of. And we'd do short local trips, and maximum we'd venture into Europe maybe once in a while. That was about it. But I had a strange desire at the turn of the century, around 2002-03, to come see Swami for myself. And that's when Sujata and I made our first trip here at that
time. I find it so interesting that you had that eureka moment so easily come to you, that you read about Shirdi Baba and you made the connection intuitively that he had reincarnated, and this whole phenomena was a Shiva energy. Because a lot of people worship Shirdi Baba for generations and they still don't get it.
Right. For some reason, I think, again, this comes from the divine grace.
It is, you're right.
Without Swami's grace, this thought could not have.
Yeah.
I get a lot of accolades from people that think I'm smart and I'm very quick to grasp things. It's absolutely not true in my opinion. In my opinion, we are empty shells. All that we are given come from Swami, come from God, and by His grace only. And by His grace, I was able to realize that, make the connection between the two. And there was another incident at that time, which I should mention, which kind of solidified this. I was diagnosed with a tumor in my spinal cord. And I was told that this was around 2001, 2002 time frame, 2003 maybe. And I had an operation in early 2003. In February 2003, I had an operation. And
in the United States?
In the United States, near San Diego, one of the best hospitals. And that is, again, a strange story, how we found the doctor who was related to one of my friends, somebody who knew him. And he came all the way from San Diego to see me because he had a daughter going to school in Los Angeles. And we struck up a relationship with him. It was a very friendly relationship. I never been to his chamber or his office, but he was one of the best neurosurgeons specializing that particular operation in that part of the world. And at that time when I had the operation, I was very scared. I'm always scared of operations, and I fainted at the sight of blood, as Sujata will tell you. But as I was going, as they were putting me out in the operation theater, I prayed to Swami. I kept praying to Him. Om Sri Sai Ram, Om Sri, and that's what I kept repeating in my mind. And they had told me that it would be a four-hour operation. I came back again. I went into a long, deep sleep. When I came back, everybody was telling, move your legs, move your feet, because there was a possibility that they could cut a nerve or damage a nerve, which would paralyze that particular motor operation. I was told that the four-hour operation actually became an hour or hour and a half operation, because the tumor was being blocked by something, and when they removed that particular blockage, the tumor dropped down into a very comfortable range where it could be removed easily. So the entire operation was facilitated by some reason and became a very quick, easy, convenient operation. And I came out almost scratch-free, as they would say.
Mm.
And I recovered very quickly, and I was back to work within about 2 to 3 weeks. And that solidified my faith again in Swami. And I looked back and I said that I've always got what I prayed for.
Mm.
And there was never one place where He has refused me.
Mm. And Sujata, maybe I can ask you to chime in here. So when Brother Anupam started having this strong faith that Shri Baba had reincarnated as Satya Sai, was that your thought process also, or did you have your own journey?
Actually, we started reading Sai Satcharit. Anupam, you know, we would take few minutes in the evening just to read, and you know, because we both worked and everything. So that was very interesting to hear the stories and see all the connections between different things. As you know, Shruti Satchit has so many little stories and miracles and things like that. So we were reading, and I was interested in those more than the actual the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't Swami Satya Sai Baba, we did not know growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Anupam went through that experience before we got married, he never really even shared with me, even after we were married, until we started reading Sai Satcharit, and then he started talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I did not have that connection in the beginning. When we came in 2006, and I saw Swami the first time, and then actually one day I was...
You came in 2006? Whereas he came much earlier, right?
No. He also, we both came together.
But your first darshan was...
We came in 2006 to see Swami physically.
For the first time. Correct,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you that story later on also.
Okay. And then carry on, Sujata.
So, when we were here, I happened to sit one time. You know how the darshan lines, you never know where you sit.
Of course.
I happened to sit so I could see. Those days, Swami used to come in a car and then go inside and sit in his chair in the mandir. And I happened to sit in a place where I could see his lotus feet throughout the darshan. And that's the time I kind of connected. And of course, you know, when you connect, what happened to me was I started crying. So that's when I really connected with Swami. And then I started feel more of his, you know, that he is really God. And then the first visit, if I may finish that thought. At that time, my daughters just started going to college, so I was feeling a very, you know, how you have so much attachment to your
empty
children.
Empty nest syndrome.
Yes. Very tough. And Anupam, used to drive him up the wall because, you know, worrying about them. But that visit, my worries just simply went away. Because I guess Swami knew I was worrying, and you know, just everybody was surprised. Even my mother said, "How can you not worry about them?" But it did go away, and that was the first time I started, you know, engaging myself with Swami and His omnipresence.
And did you have to add to that?
Yes, and the first visit, let me share with you a very interesting story at that time. I remember Swami coming down the red carpet in one of those visits. He was in his wheelchair, actually, that visit. He was not in the car. He used to come sometimes in the car, sometimes in the wheelchair. He was coming down, and I was on the second row on the men's side. I was sitting where the general devotees sit. And I was with a group of what looked like either South American or East European devotees who were talking in a non-English language, which I didn't recognize. And as Swami came down, first time I saw him close up, and he saw me clearly. He was at an angle where I could see directly. And he burst into one of the most wonderful smiles on his face that I've ever seen. And no picture I've seen can do justice to it. He just smiled, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I was wondering, I've never seen him, who is he smiling at? So I was looking around me, like, who is he smiling at?
In disbelief.
And nobody was, you know, everybody had their eyes on him, and then I looked back again, and he just blessed and went on.
With his hands.
With his hands. But that smile and that feeling of love that engulfs you, and the feeling of peace and just a feeling of bliss that you get just took away all my worries, took away all my thoughts, etc. And I just felt happy sitting there. And that was my first encounter with him. I've never spoken to him and I've never had an interview with him, but I've seen him quite a few times. And I recall that every time he passed by, he suddenly put out his hand and blessed me all the time. And always I did pranams to him. I did my obeisances as he went by. Always.
With folded hands.
Folded hands.
But there
always
was not too many opportunities for a physical interaction.
No.
None?
No. No physical interactions with him. I always speak to him from my heart and I obey all his commands. He says that prayer is when you talk to me. When I talk to you, it's a voice of conscience. So when I ask him something, I ask him sincerely and I wait for him to tell me what it is. And a few times he has spoken to me inside without my asking him, but I'll tell you about those also.
Please.
A few times that I remember, once was when my mother passed away. This was a few years ago. And I went to Calcutta for her funeral and she had already passed on, and I knew that she was with Swami, so I was not really in grief, but I had the duties to do, and I prayed to Swami to give her counsel and give her peace to her soul, and I was sure that he would do that. But all the ceremonies that were to take place, and by that time, this was 2013, I'd been out of the country almost 40 years. My father had passed on many years ago, so I did not have any contacts, etc. A couple of my elderly uncles were in their late 80s and 90s. And so I was sitting thinking one day in a friend's house, and that friend also came to us just by, not coincidence, but heaven sent. Because these were the only people, and they had a connection with Sujata before that we met there, who really knew how to do things in a large city like Calcutta.
You mean like the funeral arrangements?
Like the funeral arrangements.
The prayers
and
that follow.
The prayers, the shraddha, all the ceremonies, the priests. I had no connection, no knowledge.
Mm.
So I was sitting there thinking, you know, how do I do all these things? I remember 2 days after I landed in Calcutta, and there was a clear voice inside my head that said, why are you worried? I will take care of everything. And that's when I suddenly realized I had enough of Swami's grace. I realized that was Bhagavan talking to me.
Wow.
And that's exactly what happened.
And you were lucky to recognize the voice. Many times we do hear the voice of conscience and we are programmed to ignore it. Because we have programmed ourselves to worry and create confusion.
Right. You must have absolute faith in Swami.
You're right.
And you must give up all these other notions that you are the doer of anything, which I've learned throughout my last few years, that as long as you give up and offer everything to Swami and just accept from Him, have absolute faith in Him, He will do your work. But it's Him doing the work and you just rely on Him and you be an instrument. You are like a hollow box. And this reminds me of my last darshan of Swami in 2010, December. At that time, I had come. My mother was very ill and my brother and sister kept telling me, my brother lived in Delhi, my sister in Dubai, she's going to pass away. This is your last chance to visit her. I came, she was really sick, we put her in intensive care and I was due to come to Parthi to see Swami and my tickets were all bought and I was thinking I have to change the ticket or do I have to cancel it. She got well the day before. She was released from intensive care, came back to her place, and the doctors told me she is out of danger now. You can actually leave and she'll be okay. So I left her behind. I came to Parthi, and early December 2010, I saw Bhagavan for the last time, and it was a strange incident. I was sitting in the general audience row, first two or three rows, and people were jumping over me. They were hitting me in the back and hitting me on the head and climbing over me. So I got a little irritated and I got up and moved back to the second or third pillar in the middle of the Kulwanthal where I had a straight view of Swami's chair. I adjusted myself. I sat there, closed my eyes And the only thought that came to my head was, I'm asking Swami, take away all my negative qualities, kama, krodha, lova, moha, mada, matsarya, take those away and make me an empty vessel and fill me with your love, with your bliss and peace, so I want to give it away. I want everybody else to enjoy that feeling of giving up and getting everything back, that all we want in the world is peace and love. And to get that, you have to get rid of these other things before you get it, because we all have it inside us, but we don't know it. So my prayer was to him so that I could distribute some of his blessings to the rest of our brothers and sisters, because I had gone through a lot of troubles, and I knew that the joy you get, you cannot get it with any amount of money, power or things. And as I kept praying, I closed my eyes. I'd open my eyes from time to time to look at him. And my God, his eyes were straight fixed on me. I could see him looking at me from that distance. I was sitting at a distance of 30, 40 feet minimum, maybe more, maybe 60 to 100 feet away. And I could see his face like he was sitting about 6 to 8 feet away from me. And I could not look at him. His eyes were so powerful. I looked at a few seconds and I had to close my eyes. And that prayer came back again to me. So that was the only thing I prayed for, that take away all my negative qualities, so I can take his love and his peace and give it away. And again I opened my eyes and I could see him again looking at me distinctly. And this went on for a few times. And after that, he went on with the program. So I remembered that scene clearly. And at that time, Swami was on stage for a very long time. Even after the Mangal Arati was done and Samastak was complete, everybody started getting up. He was moving around the inside of the mandir, and I could not take my eye. I just sat there and kept looking at him. And that was my last darshan of him in his physical form.
And what a nice interview you had with him in silence.
In silence.
His gaze upon you and your prayers going out from your heart.
Right. And within a couple of years from then, I had retired. And I came to work for the international organization and had a chance to spread his words and learn more about some of the things that he had done, which we can carry on. My connection with him has always been heart to heart in silence with him. And I have physical evidence that he has heard everything and he fulfills all your wishes and he gives you the opportunity, but you have to take the first step towards him. You take the first step, he will take 100 steps.
So you have an advantage over most of us, because right from the beginning in your journey with Swami, you learn to connect internally. So after Mahasamadhi, the connection, it was not difficult for you to find, you were not groping like many others, looking for something to hold on, even if it was a mirage, because you already had established that internal, direct, heart-to-heart connect with him.
I was very lucky. Sister Karuna, you might say that, because I never missed his form. After he left his form, I could always visualize him. I could always close my eyes and see sitting in Kulwanthal. And whenever I talked with him or I asked him a question, I got the answer. Sometimes in practice, in the physical world, sometimes mentally, but I always received guidance from him and I made that connection with him. And I was able to carry on with the work, with his strength in there. The other thing I'll mention to you is that I did ask him after he left his form at one point when I was doing my morning prayers, why was it that he never brought me to him in 40 years? Why was it that I had to come after such a long time? After 30 years
of groping.
Very long gestation period when I was lost and I was enjoying all the sensual pleasures and I could think of him only when I wanted something and he would give it to me. And it is true that he gives us what he wants in the hope that we will ask from him what he has really come here to give you. And that is so true. So I asked him once that why so? And I got a strange reply in my mind, which I was able to internalize after a while. It went something like this. To those who need my form, I interact with them in my form. but there are some for whom they don't need my form. He said, you are one of those who don't need my form, so I'm always there for you.
Very profound. Sister Sujata, we would love to hear of your journey, because I think when on the God path, even though you both work as a team and serve Swami, I think the connect is individual. Mm-hmm. Every soul has their own story to tell. Was it as clear and as natural for you as it was for him?
I grew up with God a lot, being in an Indian family with always something.
Kali worshippers?
We had everything. We had a lot of temple situations, and yes, I was a Kali worshipper. I don't know, some reason I was attracted to that form, even though our families had different temples of different goddesses. So for me, I always prayed. Even though my family did a lot of rituals and I had to take part of them, myself, I did not believe in them for some reason. I just did not. I used to take part because that's the duty to do. So, but I would pray every day, morning and when I get up and at night before going to bed. That was my routine, and whatever I did, I just prayed. And I never, that's how I grew up or my spiritual. But the thing that I had was, I was a Kali worshipper. Among all those deities, I used to go to my grandfather's temple, which is a Kali temple. I still go when we visit Calcutta. And for Kali, for us Bengalis, we have, when we worship, we put sindoor on your head and not just on your forehead, right? So for me, I slowly changed that Kali to Swami, because I started seeing more of, I used to dream about him more than anything. First dream I dreamt of him was when we were visiting London, and I wanted to see a center in London.
A Sai center?
Sai center. And that time we started going to Sai center in 2007, after we visited Parthi in California. But when we visited London, I was telling him, I heard they had very good centers I want to see. And we couldn't go and visit because of other arrangement. We were with friends and things like that. And maybe that's why Swami just came in my dream. I was in somebody's house, and I don't know whose house or anything. And those days, I guess Swami used to go to people's house, and people would line up to do Pada Namaskar. So I was in somebody's house.
In the dream.
In the dream. This is all dream. And we were taking Pada Namaskar, and the word that came out of Swami that I heard was work and seva. Those are the two words. I always, whenever I dream of him, I hear those two words. So that's how the connection really started. And then we started going to do seva downtown Los Angeles. We would go, both of us, Anupam and myself, every Sunday we would go. And that's the seva we regularly did. Of course, for being in California, we have a lot of other seva opportunities which we attended. So just doing that, it started getting the feeling of service, and slowly, started thinking about Swamis. That those times we used to read the Satyam Sivam Sundaram and started understanding Swami's teachings, and I felt that they were so simple. So simple that...
Simple to understand or simple in the thought?
Simple to understand and practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of those person, I have to internalize things before I can even believe in. So for me, it was very simple to understand. It's very simple to practice. And I started doing that. I started to practice his teaching slowly. It took me a long time, and I'm not even close to be anywhere. But it just started helping me and trying to realize. And in one of those dreams, I actually put sindoor in Swami at one time. So my dreams were strange those days. That's how kind of I started. And the feeling, remember I said, after not worrying, that was a big thing, because...
It just took the weight off of you.
It was so strange how it went away. That was the strange part.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somewhat like Anupam... if you listen we were not vegetarians before. And one day, I did not dream about this, but we were at a center, and I got the message saying I need to just become vegetarian. And I stopped, and even till today, I don't crave for any of those things. So it's again, Swami is telling me, and you just have to listen and follow. For me, it is all practice. And more I practice, more I feel the connection with Swami.
So you said that those two words, work and seva, they were the mantra that basically he gave it to you in a different state of consciousness, in dream state. And you started going for many seva opportunities, availing of those. What did seva do for you? Why were you drawn to seva? Or did seva have any impact on you, just serving others selflessly?
Oh, it was very, it made you feel really good. At least made me feel really good. So you go and you serve, and I never, we just used to go serve and come back, and it just makes you feel good to greet the people and give them some food. We used to distribute food, sandwiches and such, so that, you know, people could have some. And just a smile on their faces, you know, was really fulfilling because, I mean, and we had a habit of, at least I did, I used to greet them, good morning, good afternoon, whatever, how are you? And even though we don't know those people, I just used to try to give them something of, you know. So it was very nice. It gives you a very good feeling. Even today, we go to medical camps or wherever, it just makes you feel like fulfilled. And I get energy from that. I just, even though I'm doing the service, and Anupam sometimes said, how can you go to too many places? I said, well, I don't know. I get the energy, so I keep going. So I attract energy from that too. So seva, actually, how I feel about seva is bringing a little bit of joy in somebody. Bringing a little bit of joy. So everything I do, I try to think, how is it bringing a little bit of joy in somebody, whether it's work. And then I started connecting that to work.
So your professional work.
Professional work. And being in IT, we have the opportunity to actually help others in a different way, not as a medical profession, but in a office environment, if you're making somebody's job a little bit easier and they're happy, or if you're training someone and they're happy, those are the little things, and that's what I try to see into seva, is making someone a little bit happy.
Because Swami says when we perform seva, apart from serving the person who we are serving, we are also serving ourselves.
Yes.
Because the fulfillment is the greatest joy.
Fulfillment is the greatest joy. Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very well said, yes. Sairam, dear listeners, welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India. The seat of supreme truth, absolute auspiciousness, and ultimate beauty. The time in the ashram right now is 20 minutes past 11 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and today is the 25th of August 2016. Please note that due to the extended Janmashtami Mandir program today, we are running late by 30 minutes on our Thursday live schedule, but we are pretty sure that we'll be able to catch up and get back on track by the time afternoon satsang starts at 12 noon. Till then, all programs are running half an hour behind schedule. Now, you just heard part one of Tryst with Divinity with Mrs. Sujata and Dr. Anupam Ganguly of the United States of America. I beg your pardon, America. We look forward to your feedback to this episode of Tryst part one by email. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And, dear brothers and sisters, I urge you to not miss out the concluding part two right here on Morning Glory, same time, same day, same place next week. But by same time, I mean 9:40 a.m. Today we were delayed because of the celebrations in the Mandir. With that, let's begin with the flashback to 29th of August, 2002. Exactly 14 years ago, 29th is on Monday, I realize that, but just short of 4 days, exactly 14 years ago, Bhagwan inaugurated the state-of-the-art Prashanti Digital Studios in the ashram. It is the exact same studio from where this live broadcast is coming to you right now. And Bhagwan sat in the red chair that I am facing right now as I speak with you. And since that historic day in August of 2002, thousands and thousands of hours worth of high-quality programs have been produced at Radio Sai's Prashanti Digital Studios. Swami's message is engulfing the globe through the six streams of Radio Sai, namely Asia Stream, Ameri Stream, Afri Stream, Telugu Stream, Bhajan Stream, and most importantly, the Divine Discourse Stream. All six streams run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And all streams are run and available free of cost to all our listeners through internet. 14 years later, as we step back and look at this incredible journey, our hearts, dear listeners, are filled with amazement and deep gratitude. The entire Global Radio Sai team is with me when I say this, that our experience has conclusively taught us just one single truth, which is that Bhagwan is not only the origin, the inspiration and the guide of Radio Sai, he is also the executive producer and director of every sound bite that Radio Sai produces. Bhagwan is our sole inspiration as all our materials are sourced from his divine wisdom. He is our guide and director as he is personally to this date guiding us with clarity on how to proceed one step at a time. Today, at barely 14 years of age, Bhagwan has blessed this teenager called Radio Sai with the enormous responsibility to serve as the digital lifeline between millions of seekers all over the globe and Prashanti Nilayam India, the spiritual epicenter of our times. As we celebrate the 14th birthday of Radio Sai on Monday, August 29, 2016, we thank all our listeners for your active participation and support in this journey. For us, dear sisters and brothers, you are Swami's eyes and ears. And if you are pleased, our Lord Sai is pleased. Because at Radio Sai, listener Devo Bhava, apart from mother, father, teacher, guest and everybody else being God, our listeners are also our God. As part of our celebrations to mark the 14 years of operating from this studio, on this auspicious Krishna Janmashtami, I would like to play some Krishna bhajans as I close and offer morning glory at the lotus feet. Friendly reminder, we are running 30 minutes behind schedule because of the celebrations in the mandir, but we will catch up by 12 noon with afternoon satsang starting on its regular scheduled time. And now, I offer a humble prayer at his lotus feet. Dear Swami, please make each one of us your choicest flute, hollow, clear, simple, sincere and light, so that you may blow your sweet breath through us and make us your instruments. Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Sai Ram.
चित चोरा यशोदा के बाद नवनीत चोर गोपा
चित चोरा यशोदा के बाद नवनीत चोर गोपा
चित चोरा यशोदा के बाद नवनीत चोर गोपा
यशोदा के बाद नवनीत चोर गोपाल
गोपाल गोपाल गोवर्धन कर
Yes,
I'm a man. 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 I'm a
గోవింద గోపాల ప్రభు గిరిధారి గోవింద గోపాల ప్రభు గిరిధారి
గోవింద గోపాల ప్రభు గిరిధారి
గోవింద గోపాల ఉదయ విహారి
గోవింద
Govinda